Well, good morning to each one of you that came out this morning. It's good to see you all here. Thank you, visitors, for being here and helping swell our numbers a little bit. We would be rather a slim bunch, I think, without some of you. It's good to be gathered in God's house here and endeavor to honor Him in worship. Enjoyed everything thus far, and I feel like it's going to be one continuation here this morning. A little side note. I like to pay attention to those verses that you say, children. What was that one I heard several times? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. I don't know what all that entails, but I picture, you know, the old days they had a watch. They had guards right around the city. And it was their job to, keep the gate, right? Watch what comes in and goes out. In this case, it's probably the watch is for all that goes out, right? That comes out of our mouth. We want God to set a watch. Guards there. And I think, we both, God has a part to play in that watch, and we do as well, right? But without God, you know, we can endeavor on our own strength, right, I'm going to watch my speech. But you know, it doesn't take long, and you realize that when a person does not have God helping them in that, words just slip out sometimes, right? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and hopefully we are serious about that. I really enjoyed that devotional and Sunday school my thoughts started on, thinking about the feeding of the 5,000. Just that simple miracle that we've probably been impressed with since we were children. That little boy brought these few loaves and fishes, and Jesus just multiplied them and fed the multitude, and I just impressed by that. Jesus can do the same today, and I have to think about it both this morning and numerous times when I come to share God's word, and I say, Lord, you know what? This just feels like a few small fishes and pieces of bread here, but I trust God can take those few small things and make them into something that is for your spiritual health. Like I said, I feel like it's one continuation this morning. I have to admit that when I prepared to bring the message that I'm about to bring, I did not look at the Sunday school lesson. It wasn't until afterward, and here we're pretty much talking about the same stuff. So there's probably going to be some repeat, but at the same time, I don't apologize. I think we can keep going and probably still have our needs met and not say so many things the same as we did. But I am looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Those of you from here know that I've been working at some Sermon on the Mount material, and we're working at the Beatitudes, and if you care to, you can open your Bibles to Matthew 5. We're not really going to spend a lot of time here. And besides, I knew Katie was expecting this one anyway, so. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Forget if we brought this verse out already. Verse 6. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is what I've chosen for my title this morning. And we talked some about this already. But are you hungry and thirsty this morning? Well, physically, I hope not so much. I hope that those needs are met, because, you know, if you're sitting in church and you're really hungry and your stomach is growling, it can kind of be a distraction and keep you from really focusing on what the preacher's saying. When's he ever going to get done? You know, it's taking long because you have other needs that you want to fill. But I hope that there is a spiritual hunger and thirst that each one of us have, because Jesus gives a blessing on that kind of hunger and thirst. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We know what it's like to be physically hungry and thirsty. It's just a universal thing that we all have. We need water, we need food to live. They're two of the most basic needs for human life. What do they say? Is it three things that are the basic for human life? Food, water, and oxygen. There might be a few more, I'm not sure. There's a couple others that are right up there. Pretty close to just as important, like shelter and sleep. Maybe sleep's not necessary for some, I'm not sure. Food and water and oxygen. Basic things that we all need to live. And that's why they're having such problems finding, you know, setting up a life, setting up a community on some other planet like Mars, because a lot of those things are missing. It's kind of a problem that they have. Big problem. So we know what hunger and thirst is, at least to a degree. For sure, we probably all missed a meal, went without food for a while, and got really hungry. Maybe you were working, and there's a time crunch. Maybe you're planting corn, and it's going to rain. It looks like it's going to rain at 8 o'clock tonight. And you just, okay, we can eat later. You know, keep on planting corn, and just go. And we did do without food to try to get the job done. Maybe you know what it's like to be, say, out on the back 40 somewhere, and for whatever reason you don't have water, or you ran out of water, and you just get really thirsty till you get back. You know what that's like. Or maybe you've been one of these that did a voluntary fasting for, I guess, multiple reasons. The ones I'm thinking of seemed like a while back, we're doing it for health, weight loss, and so on. Do a fast, you know, I don't know, 24, 36 hours, some even going longer than that. I have to wonder how beneficial it is sometimes when it goes too long. So we all need food. Not sure if that was a passing fad or not. I haven't heard about that one for quite some time. It does not feel good, does it? We like to eat. We like to drink. We know, you know, what it's like to be hungry, have a hunger and thirst. But you know, as I thought about that, probably as Americans, we really don't know what that's like some people do. Because, you know, every time I can think of that I was hungry or thirsty, you know, I had resources to go to. If I was in the back 40 or whatever, I mean, if worse comes to worse, there's a stream over there, you know, if you're thirsty, and it's not clean, but, you know, it'll work. You could drive somewhere and you could get some food. I've had some times maybe it seemed like maybe it was getting pretty desperate. But, you know, I had resources in sight, in mind, that I could get to. And some of those of you who have decided to fast, you know, you had an end in sight. Maybe your goal is I'm going to do 24 hours with no food. And after that, you know, we're going to have a good supper. Or, you know, you knew there was food in the fridge if at any time you just really need food. I never that I can recall when I was hungry or thirsty not known of resources available to meet those needs. We just have food and drink here in America, don't we? But some people, you know, it's not that way. They might be hungry and thirsty, and they might not have any idea if that's going to continue tomorrow, the next day, or if there is any available options to quench that. But for us, it's instead of wondering if we're going to have something to eat or drink, we wonder which of the many options we will have to choose from, or that we will eat. You know, we don't really usually think of being hungry or thirsty as a positive thing, do we? You know, we like to eat, we like to drink, we like to meet those needs, right? It's such a good feeling to be able to satisfy your hunger or thirst. You know, after waiting so long to sink your teeth into that tasty grilled chicken or steak or whatever, you know, all the good foods that we enjoy as people. We don't really enjoy the hunger and thirst part. That's why it takes such dedication to do those long fasts, you know. But it's the quenching of those things that we like. But this kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus talks of here, and I think Nelson brought some of this out already, as I would see it, is something we should have all the time. This hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shouldn't get done with it. We continue to have it. We don't quench it in the same way, so to speak, that we do our physical hunger and thirst. Well, you know, when we have a meal and, oh, we're full, we're satisfied, we don't have room for any more. This is a hunger and thirst I believe we're to have all the time, even though it says we will be filled. There's the needs are met. There's still to be a hunger and thirst. And yeah, I agree. That's I don't know if I can put all that together. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is Jesus? What is this hunger and thirst we're to have? What is Jesus talking about here? You know, as Christians, as Mennonite people, we can so quickly breeze over this, right? And sure, I know what righteousness is, right? You know, it means I'm glad to come to God's house. I'm glad to be here to worship this morning. I try to live for Jesus every day. Be a good testimony of what Jesus has done for me and so on and so on. And those are all a part of it. Those are all included. But you know, do we really have this intense hunger and thirst for righteousness like we should? You know, I had to think, is it possible that just like us Americans, we really don't know what intense hunger and thirst is because we just have so much food, resource. I think we talked about this maybe in the Sunday school class. We take it for granted. We have all kinds of food. Could we spiritually, as Christians or Mennonites, if you will, right here in 2024, have so much availability of spiritual riches? You know, we've just gotten used to it all, that we don't have the hunger and thirst for things of God like we should. I think we know it is a possibility, but I believe it does not have to be. What is this righteousness that Jesus tells us to hunger and thirst after? I looked up that word righteousness in Strong's. It's translated, the word righteousness in our Bibles is translated from a Greek word, and I tried to say it, but I didn't have real good success, so maybe I'll just spell it out for you. It's D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N-E. But if you look that word up, and there's some definition, just a couple of words that define that, what that word, that Greek word was to mean. And several words you find is equity of character or action, justification, righteousness. The main word defining it being that word equity. Now, that's not a word I use often or that I'm really familiar with. But it simply means fairness or justice. And that's at least part of what defines this word righteousness that we have here in our Bibles. Fairness or justice. And I believe most of the places that we have the word righteousness in our New Testament, it's translated from this Greek word. It means equity or fairness, justice. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness or justice. And I was curious what some other versions say, and sometimes I'm blessed when Edwin will share what the Spanish Bible says, and so I messaged him yesterday while I was preparing, and sure enough, he sent back that I didn't even tell him what I was after, just wondered what the verse says, and he brought out that it is that word justice is the, I don't know what the Spanish word is that they have, but it's there with the word righteousness. Thought that was interesting. I think that adds some perhaps to the meaning, maybe in a way that I didn't necessarily know or think of before. Just something to keep in mind as we look at this word righteousness and think about what we are to hunger and thirst after. Well, what other verses help us to understand what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about righteousness? This word righteousness was used over 90 times, I believe, in our New Testament. And we're not going to turn to them all, of course. I picked a few. I'd like to turn to Romans 3. Romans 3, I'd just like to read a few verses here. We have the word righteous or righteousness used here several times. And note some of the other forms of the word justice that come out in some of these verses as we read. You'll see the word just and justifier, I think, in some of these. There's a lot here. We're not going to near unpack everything. But I just like to start reading Romans 3, verse 9. What then are we better than they? We're really breaking into thought here, I know. We're better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Key verse here, I think, of what we want to pull out of here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We'll stop reading there. notice those various words, just and justifier, and the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So a few thoughts I want to pull out of here on righteousness. First of all, is that God is the only righteous one. Verse 10, it says, there is none righteous. Not one of us is righteous. Verse 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we looked at I think it was Brother Larry brought it out in the message last Sunday, about the young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, he addressed him, good master. Jesus said, well, why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. God is the only one righteous. No one's righteous but he. God is righteousness, and all that it includes of justice, mercy, holiness, and so on. He is the only righteous one. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Psalm 119, 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. God the righteous. Secondly, I'm being very brief with some of these. Man is naturally self-righteous. And I didn't necessarily, I think it's implied in some of these verses, for sure. If you think about it, man tries on his own to be righteous. Righteous in himself. And our minds probably very quickly go to the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They were self-righteous. It talks about that. It says in Luke 18 that Jesus specifically told them that familiar story of the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray. He told them that story because there were those there that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That they were righteous and looked down on other people. They had a whole system of supposed righteousness. They had laws that spelled out everything. They added rites and rituals to what God had commanded, and they took away from parts of it they did not like. They had a big show of being religious, but it was not of God. They were self-righteous. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, just a couple of verses later from where we read, I believe it's verse 20, he says, putting it in my own words, that such righteousness will not make the grade. You won't, unless your righteousness goes beyond that, you won't make it to heaven. Man tries to be righteous himself. You know, it's just natural. I want people to think good of me. I want to give good impressions. I want them to think I'm a good person, and so on. What does it say in Isaiah? Our righteousnesses, I think it's Isaiah 54, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're just no good. Thirdly, it is possible for man to have the righteousness of God by faith. We take that from verse 24. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You know, man tries, we said, to be righteous in himself. Tries, but man just does not measure up. We can't measure up. And there is only one way for mankind to be righteous. And it's not in himself, but in Jesus Christ. And those verses 22 to 26 that we read there bring that out very clearly, that it's the righteousness of God. Verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a miracle that, you know, man who could not measure up to God's standard, could not stand before God because of sin, can now stand before God. And God says, because of the blood of Jesus, there's a righteous man. You're a righteous one. Could we say it's the impossible made possible? through salvation in Jesus. And if we're not going to pull them out, there's many verses that we can turn to in which God addresses the redeemed ones as the righteous. Think of the judgment scene. Is it later in Matthew? He talks about the righteous on the one hand, and so on. It is possible for man to be in that place before God through salvation in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This righteousness that is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This hunger and thirst, I believe, it is a craving to be just like God, the righteous one. That's what we hunger and thirst after. That's what we want to pattern our lives after as His followers. We want to be just like Him in those characteristics that are God of holiness, love, patience, kindness, and that word equity that I brought out earlier. I'm not planning to spend much more time on that word, but if you want a very inspiring message to listen to, go to the PMC website and find the message by James Martin. I think it's titled "Dare to Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness." I think you'll be blessed as you, if you take the time to listen to that. But that equity is part of this word righteousness. That God is a just God, and that we as His people, we desire to be that kind of person as well. We desire to see a fairness and justice. We care about the mistreated ones and so on. The look down on people. We already talked, a brother talked in Sunday school about the druggies and so on. The one that's at the bottom of society, we have compassion. Because we want them to experience the same salvation that we have experienced in Christ Jesus. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. When I'm physically hungry, it affects my choices. I was thinking about that. If I haven't eaten for a while and I am just really hungry, and I'm driving past, that place, they got those delicious burrito bowls. Oh, they're so good. Where the place, they got that jalapeno smokehouse burger. Oh, I like that one. And the loaded cheese fries they got there. Woo. And I just might turn in there, if I'm going past there. And I'm hungry enough, I might just say, it's worth the price. And I'm going to stop and satisfy my hunger. I don't often find myself in that position. Or maybe I'm on my way back from the shop, going through Geneva, and my wife says, stop at Wegmans for a few things. And maybe it's only two or three things. And, I go in there, and I am hungry from after work and all afternoon, And my small list all of a sudden grows to, maybe twice or more things than when I went, had on the list. I'll go in there and, there's a good sharp cheddar cheese. I love that. Oh, that's good stuff. I really should get some of that, right there is my, favorite kind of Greek yogurt. Sure. Yeah, that'll be good tomorrow morning. And I really should get some of the ice cream while I'm here. And my basket starts filling up. It's all because my stomach is in a really hungry frame of mind, right? You see, it affects my choices. And not, you know, if I went in there after just eating, I wouldn't be near as attracted to all that stuff. I'd leave with less food and probably more in my wallet, for sure. But you know, it's the same in the spiritual, isn't it, friends? Your hunger and thirst, or lack of it, for the things of God is going to affect your everyday life choices. You see, if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, there's a satisfaction there. I know that's a paradox, isn't it? You hunger and thirst after righteousness and continue in that, but at the same time you're filled and satisfied. The things of the world really aren't that attractive when you have Jesus. When Jesus is within, you are filled, he says. As the last of the verse there, of verse 6, that they shall be filled. And likewise, you know, if you are not hungering and thirsting after God, his word, and things of righteousness, you know, those things of the world will catch your eye. And we talked about that in our adult Sunday school class, that, you know, we all have that void. We all have that spot that is, we're made to fill with something. And if God isn't there, the default is the trash of the world. That's what we'll fill in that void. Oh, sure, it doesn't usually look like trash. The master chef of junk food, he's a lot smarter than all that. He makes it look like fun. A good time you'll have, he tells you. Let me tell you, especially you young folks that are finding seeking life, learning life, and life looks attractive, there's a lot of spiritual fast food places, so to speak, that you can go to today. They offer the Happy Meal Deluxe with dessert to go with it. And it might look and it might seem like tasty stuff when you see it and when you eat it, but let me tell you, it has no nutritional value for your soul. And the pleasure you get will be so short-lived, you'll be left more unsatisfied than you were before. In fact, you know, unlike the natural fast food, you know, it's probably okay to eat some of that. It's not all that nutritionally valuable, right? But it's probably not going to ruin your health by eating, you know, once and again, right? Unlike that, this spiritual trash food, it will slowly poison you, I'm going to say, this morning. It's actually that serious. It's a big deal what you are hungering after. A couple of verses of a song, it's not real familiar maybe to us, but that I might have shared it here before. I don't know if I have it quite all. It says, there are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. And then there's another verse. It goes like this. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my precious Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. And I don't have all the rest of the words there. But that's what describes the food that the world has to offer. It'll leave you more hungry than you were before. It is not satisfying. John 6, 27. Jesus talking, I believe. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And so many people today, my friends, are choosing that kind of meat. The stuff that does not last, the meat which perisheth. I ask you this morning, what do your life choices say about your spiritual health? Is it junk food, so to speak, that you're hungering after, that leaves you just as hungry as you were? Leaves you hungering, just hungering for more and more of the same? Or is it the satisfying bread of life that only Jesus Christ can give? Is that what you're hungering for? John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I think we had that verse already, perhaps. But that is a promise that we can claim. That's a promise. It's not just a maybe. It's a promise. If we partake of him, it'll be satisfying. And it's totally the opposite of what the devil, that deceiver, will tell you. He'll tell you that the good life is living for me, living how I want. Don't be fooled. It leaves you so empty and unsatisfied. The real spiritual food is found in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Am I hungering and thirsting after righteousness? In closing, Psalm 42:1-2. As the hart panteth after the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. God bless you as we hunger and thirst after him. Let's kneel for prayer.